throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got a busy, busy show today. All kinds of things happened over the weekend. Kelvin wins a thriller in Norman. Thunder, huge win in Phoenix last night. Caitlin Clark, now the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history. Is she a positive for the game? I think it's a conversation worth having. Sooners 71-game win streak snapped. Anybody got any idea the last time they lost at home? I do. I know the answer. I think they're going to burn down Love's Field now.
Is
that a bad thing? Yeah. Go back to Marita Hines. Love's Field's not it. We'll have some high school hoops talk, of course. Tucker family beef 8 for state. The winner in the second place trophy go to. We'll tell you in a little bit. Merritt makes school history over the weekend with a couple of trips to the state tournament. And then we'll wrap up the A and B state tournament as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got everything. It's got radio, Penny News, Big Elk and Paragon TV, and, of course, Skinny on Sports podcast. When Jared's here and he remembers to hit the record button, because I don't ever when he's not, you can check that out everywhere where podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
Good. How are you doing?
How was your weekend? I guess how was your Saturday? Sunday. I know what you did Saturday.
Well, I did the same thing Sunday. I went and watched basketball. So, yeah, that's all. It was good. Good weekend. And despite still going at it on Sunday, got some much-needed rest on Sunday. I was worn out Saturday. I don't know if you could tell. Towards the end of the day, I was just drained. That week really takes a lot out of you. I can't imagine how those players feel emotionally when they go through those three games if they get to Saturday. But that was a good weekend. How was yours? How was your Sunday?
Tried to play a little golf. Just kind of hung out. Went and watched Barrel Race.
Barrel racing?
Yeah, north of town.
Like a practice or is no, it was an official
a race.
Thing?
It was a barrel race. One of Kara's college roommates, her daughter, 9 years old, was barrel racing out north of town.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool. She did really great. I think she got second in her division.
That's pretty cool.
And it's not like age division. Like there was.
How does that work then?
I don't know.
Like qualifying? Like.
I don't have any idea. Huh. I just know that there's all ages were there. From 9 or probably even maybe a little bit younger all the way up to who knows. But yeah, she did great. It was fun to watch.
That's fun. That's cool.
She one of her horses' name is Levi. The other one was Penny. She ran twice. Penny is the one that she did great on. Second when we left. So that was cool. That was fun. And then played a few holes of golf and hung out. And that was about it. It was a nice, warm day. I don't know if it was as windy as they thought it was going to be.
No, it wasn't bad.
It kicked up at times, but it wasn't terrible. So it was fun.
All this warm weather just reminds me I need to get in the lawn. You sprayed your lawn yet?
Absolutely.
I'm still waiting. We're on the list.
Absolutely. Scott made it out there about a month ago, 3 weeks ago.
We've messaged the guy more than once, and he's understandably busy. But like,
yeah, he's talked about you too. So, hey, there you go. wondering where you're at.
Maybe I need to switch spray guys.
Say, I know that. I know one guy is asking about you. That's for sure.
Want to know why I'm not using him?
Yeah.
Maybe I should.
You need to get your lawn sprayed?
We've had a guy we've used for a few years, but I guess he's busy.
Well, yeah, it's that time of year, too.
It is that time of year. But here it is, March 4th. I'm like, come on.
That's that time of year. And the wind. It's been windy the last week or so.
Yeah, that's probably part of the problem, too.
Well, yeah.
Can't spray in the wind. Yeah, from the text line. I don't know if I'll aerate this year. I usually went every other year. But, man, I've noticed the off year I've done it, or I have not done it, I can tell a difference in quality and thickness of my lawn. And weed control, too. So I'm thinking I should do it every year. I really do. It is that time. You're right. Now the basketball's done. Well,
Sam said cold front just hit at the Texas state line.
I didn't really bring a jacket today. I thought it was going to be a warm day.
I didn't either. Got a little baseball going on this morning. Down in Altus, 7th grade Elks get their season started in the Navajo tournament.
Okay, yeah, I know there's some junior high teams in the this whole area, yeah. I know some high school.
There's like 16 teams in this tournament, four different locations.
Different locations, like Mangum and Altus.
Mangum, Altus, Navajo, and Hobart, I think, are the locations.
That's a kind of a cool idea. I like that.
And then
that
you
idea.
Have, so today you got two pool play games, and all those for all the teams. The runners-up and the winner of each pool will play in an elimination bracket tomorrow, single elimination, 18 bracket. That's pretty cool. That'll all be at Navajo, I think.
I know there's a lot of softball and baseball, high school starting.
High school
today.
Baseball starts. The Elks played Saturday
against
Jones. Beat them 12-10.
12-10?
12-10. Luke Yost, coach at Jones, former Big Elk.
Really?
Yes. And so they came out and played. And then district play starts today. Might have been a reason the score was high. Higher than you would think because you're not throwing your arms.
Yeah.
Waiting on district games today for both those. So I'm sure we'll get to see old Cash Mayfield's first outing.
Who do they get today?
Who's Woodward.
It is Woodward.
Here at Ackley Park.
Is it still the same format on tomorrow they go back they
I think
go to
that's
Woodward?
Right, yes. So today here at Ackley, 5 o'clock. I may slip over there, check out a little bit of that.
Yeah.
See what it's all about.
Well, I noticed the new lighting system over there, the
new
LEDs.
Lights. Yes. New lights. First time probably since 1950, whatever they built that sucker, or 40 or 30, whatever it was.
I wonder when the lights were installed. Surely they wasn't installed at the same time.
Probably not.
But the LEDs, I saw those being put up.
I can remember them. I mean, I can remember back in early 90s there being lights.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's been at least that long. Probably the same lights that they had. Oh, yeah, we know that one not. Well, when we were there that day when foul ball broke him. But anyway.
Yeah, that fan sitting underneath those lights probably happy. Those are.
Yeah. That was wild.
They're done with
it. It's a good thing nobody got hurt.
Oh,
that
man.
Day.
It looked like something off of a horror movie. I thought, oh, no. Shards of glass raining
yes.
from the sky onto fans.
Yes.
Luckily, no one got hurt. And it just sounded like a bunch of sand hitting the ground.
Yeah.
But, man, little shards of glass, rain.
There
Could
was
you
huge,
imagine?
Giant shards of glass.
Oh, that's
big
scary.
Pieces of glass.
Scary.
Yeah, that was wild. All right, Class A and B state tournament. We'll recap it here off the top of the show. Saturday, not vintage, memorable Saturday, I think, in a lot of ways, as far as close games. It was really weird. It seemed like every single game was pretty tight at halftime. And then all of a sudden, at some point in the second half, it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, the Lomega Lakiba game was the closest one of the day at 10 points. It really kind of felt closer than that. It just, Lakiba never was able to make a, you know, there in the middle to latter stages of the fourth quarter, seemed like they were just never able to make that one shot, maybe to knock it from 8-5 or, you know, 7-4.
Well, I felt the other way. They didn't make that one stop they needed.
Well, but they did at times. I mean, they had the ball a bunch of times trying to score to get there. They only gave up 53 to Lomega, which is not a ton, but they had the ball at times able to, you know, taking shots. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times did it seem like they took a three down 8?
Well, what's her name? Just tried.
Willard took a bunch of shots, but even some others and just never would go in. And then you're right. Then it seemed like when that shot was missed, Lomega always went down and scored, either getting to the free throw line or making shots. Swart was awesome. But overall, I thought Saturday was a little bit lackluster. Friday night, obviously, to me, the game of the tournament was the last game Friday night. Hammond and Lomega, mm-hmm. rematch of the Class B girls state title game a year ago. It was close. It was back and forth. It seemed like both teams were making shots at the end. You know, Lomega would make a three to go up four, then Edwina Piwo would make a three to cut it to one, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And then obviously the controversy at the end with the foul called on West with 4.6 seconds left that allowed Lomega the one free throw they needed to win the game. You know, talking to all the people that we see each and every year behind us, you know, there at the big house, nobody thought it was a foul. Now, there's some Western Oklahoma love there probably, but, you know, it's just it's a tough way for that classic game to end when you see, you know, an official on the baseline with the view of it not making the call and somebody from out, you know, you see that at times and it kind of frustrates you. But it was called and Lomega made one free throw that they had to make. And, you know, to me, that was the game of the tournament.
Yeah, I felt like Class B girls as a whole was the better tournament, the funner tournament with the games. And that one, mainly that one, was we knew that one going into when both teams won, it's like, okay, here we go. It's set up another Hammond-Lomega game that's probably going to be a really good one, and it delivered. It was, despite the outcome, I know a lot of disappointment this side out here in the area with the Hammond folks, but despite the outcome of that. But it was I enjoyed that game. The ref thing, I don't know. I mean, Henley had a ton of blocks leading up throughout the game, which she typically does throughout the entire season, I could probably safely assume. And then for that, how that her junior season ends because of a block, a questionable call, it scratches your head a little bit. I mean, you kind of go, do you let that go and just continue? Maybe let this go to overtime and let these players decide it. I'm trying not to get too upset at officials. Yeah. It's a bang bang call. Mm-hmm. He, you know, whistle blew. It is what it is. And there was still an opportunity there. Credit Lomega. Recognizing with the 4 seconds, they're going to throw it straight to the middle to West, try to catch someone streaking, you know, outlet to somebody streaking, maybe get a shot off, and they defended it well. And Lomega does what they always do. I mean, they find ways to win and win gold balls. So congratulations, Coach Llewellyn. I know he has a lot of ties out here. And was that 16 for them? That is a record, and that is impressive. And that's usually how it works. If you want to win a title in Class B girls, you're going to have to go through Lomega some way, somehow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Either they're going to win it or you got to go through them to get it.
Absolutely. It's just, you're right, 16.
And Hammond's going to be fine. Conley's going to have them. I mean, they're going to continue to win, and they're going to continue to be in those games, probably in that game, if not the game on Saturday, year in and year out, and probably against Lomega. I hope so. Those have been fun games when they played, how many times the last couple years?
Four for sure.
Yeah. It's been a really, really fun game. And those are the ones you want in the state tournament. The others, though, I mean, they were tight for, 2.5 quarters until the eventual winner came out on top.
Yeah, I mean, even the Calumet, to me, that was probably the most surprising result just the way it happened. You know, the Chieftains down 5 going into the fourth quarter. It seemed like we were in for a good one. And then Wilson from Henrietta just blew their doors off in the fourth quarter, outscoring them 30-11. The Shelburne brothers, what a cool story that was. 4 brothers, all still coming back next year.
That's cool.
There at Wilson Henrietta. First time that they had won a game in the state tournament, and they would go ahead and win 3 and take home the first title in school history for Wilson Henrietta, and just an amazing fourth quarter onslaught offensively, scoring 30 points. I mean, that's just something you really don't see in state title games. Is an explosion offensively like that in a fourth quarter. You just don't see that. And, man, they were unbelievable to blow Calumet's doors off there in that final frame. And those brothers were good, hit threes, you know, in transition, pulls up. You know, it seemed like they always had the answer either on the glass or knocking down shots or even defensively creating turnovers. They were fantastic. To beat, you know, in Calumet's undefeated season in the state title game, that could be something we see again. You know, that with the youth on both of those sides, who impressed you the most? What team? What player? What impressed you the most?
Well, that was probably it, Wilson Henrietta. When we went into this tournament, we're kind of doing our picks, and we'll talk about that coming up. You could definitely say ceiling girls, write them in first and then fill the rest of the bracket in later. And I was almost kind of like that with Calumet because of them being undefeated. They felt like they were on a mission from last year, how it ended last year, going into this year. I've seen them play a few times. So with how Wilson Henrietta came out, took the fight to him, and then, like you said, that onslaught of points in the fourth quarter was incredibly impressive. And it's impressive to me because this is – and I know these are teenage boys that find energy – they could find energy at 2 a.m., you know. But when you play those tournaments, you wonder towards the latter stages of that game on Saturday how much stamina you have left. You know, what, you know, can they have anything left in the tank? And it's like they got better as the game went on. And that was impressive to me to have those legs to hit those threes at the end, those brothers doing those awesome things. So that one for me, just as a whole, the Wilson Henrietta, that team. Because I think people started taking notice of them kind of. Well, not even in the state tournament, but when they got into the state tournament, and then their semifinal game impressed me too, and just how athletic they looked. That was my first time. I didn't catch them in the first round. And I was thinking, yeah, that team, if Calumet's not ready, they can run and gun on them. And if they're hitting their shots, that's going to be a long day for Calumet. And that's what happened. So that one for me, that impressed me.
They beat, think about their run. They beat number 3 Fort Cobb,
yeah,
to get into the tournament. Then they knock off 1, 2, and 4. 1 in the finals, 2 in the semifinals in Duke, and number 4 Frontier in the first round. I wonder if that Eddie Lakey texted me that. ET2. He's like, I wonder how that's ever happened. A team beat the top 4 ranked teams in succession to win a state tournament. It's hard to imagine it has. And if it hadn't, it can't have happened very many times.
Can't think of it.
I mean, what did Okarchi do? They were number 4, so they beat 5-3. Who did they beat the first round? Rattan 2.
Rattan.
Yes. They beat Rattan number 2.
Yeah, they beat Rattan.
Yeah, 2, 3, and 5 is who they beat. And, you know, as the number 4 team, to me, they were by far the most impressive team. Was Okarchi. Just the way that they played against Caddo the night before. I mean, Sentinel had been a fantastic team all year long, and they just suffocated them. The biggest win ever, largest margin of victory ever, in a boys' state tournament, Class A or Class B, and then to follow that up. You know, we talked about it in the pregame, how hard it is to play that well and follow it up the very next night in the pressure of a state final, and they were just awesome. Holding Caddo to 7 second half points. Not quarter, second half points. I mean, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like
what we've seen from Caddo over the last couple of years.
What's more impressive, the way they handled Sentinel in that first game with their offense or the way they handled Caddo in the championship game with their defense?
To me, it was defense, because, you know, there's just times where you start making shots and it snowballs, but very rarely do you see somebody just get absolutely choked out like that defensively, somebody's offense, especially a team like Caddo, you know, the defending state champs back in the finals, and what, you know, we've seen DJ Dill go nuts on the Big House floor a bunch of times in his career. And it was like he wasn't even out there. The way that they were able to defend him.
Yeah.
Man, they were – I thought Okarchi was absolutely the most impressive of the teams. You know, Sealing did – I didn't even think Sealing played good Saturday, really. And they still won by 18. I mean, it was never really in doubt. And I don't even know if they played their B-minus game, maybe. You know, it didn't seem like they were – you know, at full throttle, and they still easily won. You know, the last game was good, but to me, Okarchi was just awesome. Mm-hmm. I was just amazed watching them and their physicality and the athleticism. Man, they were good. I was really impressed by Okarchi. What surprised you the most?
Well, maybe that how early on OBA tried to, or the way they. I say we say keep it kept it close, but by ceiling standards, it was close at half. You know, it was close after the first quarter. It was close at half. Just that kind of stood out to me and surprised me a little bit. And I'll go back to the Okorchi boys. Just, well, maybe I'm more talking about the Sentinel boys, just how they were just could not generate offense in that semifinal game. That surprised me after seeing them play a lot this year too, how good their offense was this season, and it just came up flat in that semifinal. That has to be disappointing. That one surprised me as well.
Yeah, for me, it's the fourth quarter of the Calumet game. The way that Wilson Henrietta just dominated and was able, you know, Jacob talked about defensively and how good they had been. We saw it in the Leedy game in the semifinals, how they were able to kind of choke everything off except for Puffenbarger, which they really didn't have a matchup for, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Luke was great. And that's the Puffenbarger that everybody wants to see, right? I mean, he just kind of took that thing over for Leedy and did everything. Scored, played defense, rebound, everything. And he just eventually, Calumet's depth just kind of overwhelmed him at the end. But for them to give up 30 in the fourth quarter of the state title game, that was shocking to me. It's shocking to watch how – and it really came fairly easy for Wilson Henrietta getting out. And you don't see them – you really don't see Calumet get outran very often. And, boy, did they on Saturday. That was surprising to me. That was the most surprising thing. And of course, 7 points from Caddo in the second half. That was pretty surprising.
Yeah. We built up that game. We built up Dill, and he's going to be the guy to watch. This is the kid. Watch this guy. His career has led up to this. Back to back titles. Here it comes. And he was just so bottled up. And I don't know. I mean, he looks like a really good kid, and he looked like he was being incredibly unselfish on the floor, making maybe that one more pass. And I said it during the broadcast, it's okay to be selfish in this game if you're DJ Dill, if you're a guy like DJ Dill. I didn't think he took enough shots like he probably should have.
Well, in the first half, it was fine because he was getting
getting everybody involved.
But then in the second half, they didn't let him.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just he really never touched the ball that much. They were kind of boxing one in him and – But there was always help. It was almost like they kind of had a guy and another. There was always somebody there. Mm-hmm. And he really, God, he just didn't have any space. I mean, tried to create some, couldn't, because there was always bodies coming at him. And that was a credit to Okorchi and their ability, their athletic ability. They were physical, strong, and really, really, really well coached. Jeremy's right. You knew the Sentinel was in trouble, and you know, as fast as they play, they would need to figure out a way to slow it down in that semifinal with Okorchi just kind of running up and down the floor, and eventually, yeah, ran him right out of the gym. But I was impressed.
I've seen Sentinel do that to a lot.
Exactly.
Of teams.
That's what they do.
And my Canute Trojans, including over there in Weatherford, and I accidentally sent a text out to the wrong group, making that comment. Like, man, they're doing what they did to us. Okorchi's doing the Sentinel, what Sentinel did to us, running up and down. As soon as a rebound happened, they're throwing it behind the defense and just wearing them out. And I just figured there'd be a little bit more offense there for Sentinel.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, listen, I mean, if you could take solace in the fact that you lost to the eventual champ, I don't know if anyone wants to hear that today. But Okorchi, though, that's pretty cool with their first title, their first boys' title since 1970?
1979. Yeah, they won the first one since 78. It's kind of interesting how the boys was, you know, the first ever for Wilson Henrietta, first since 1979 for Okorchi, and then the girls was the royalty of high school basketball.
Yeah.
With Ceiling and with Lomega, the two just juggernauts of programs. In high school girls. Hanging out here, kind of the post-mortem of the Class A and B Boys and Girls State Tournament Championship Saturday. A little bit of a dud, for being honest, as far as the games and the closeness of the games. What do you look for next season? Of teams maybe that were there? Who do you expect to see? Who do you expect maybe not to see? Is there a chance Ceiling takes a little bit of a step back? You're talking about a team that's won 7 out of the last 9. Been there 8 times in the state tournament, the semifinals, and then, of course, the 7 titles. The one year they didn't make it, it was, what, 2020? Not even in the state tournament. Is that a possibility, or do they have that program humming?
I got to see it to believe it.
Yeah, what do you look for next season?
I got to see it to believe it. That was the question mark, even after the game, was can they continue this? They lose a lot, but Hamer finds a way. It's a well-oiled machine, so there's some players waiting in the wings. So I got to see it to believe it. I'm interested in I mentioned Hammond, Henley West senior year. How's that going to look moving forward? Can they get back to the state tournament and you know, maybe in her mind finish some unfinished business that you know, coming up a 1 point short of getting to the state title game. So there's that one. For me, I'm trying to keep it local with our Paragon schools. Maybe Sentinel Boys, too. Same thing. They got to state tournament last year. They got back to it this year and won a game. So is there going to be more, the next step is get to the finals and win the whole dang thing. And you know they do not like that feeling of how they lost, how their season ended. It has to feel so empty with and it's hard to, in hindsight to say, man, you guys had a great season, got state tournament, top 4. Like, yeah, but the way we lost is still a nasty taste in our mouth, so we want to get rid of it. So let's see how Sentinel rebounds with their boys team going in the next year. So a couple local teams I'm keeping an eye on. How about you?
Yeah, the boys-wise, the champs, and they seem loaded, Think about Okarchi. The one guy, Smith, a senior, 6'4", played some, but a majority of the guys that made the plays on the floor for the Warriors are back. So, I think Okarchi would be a favorite, if not the favorite, in Class A boys going into the year next year with everything that they bring back to that state title winning team. The Class B boys state championship game could very easily be a rematch. Arnold and Belcher for Calumet, strong players, obviously. But they bring back a majority of the guys that played a bunch of minutes. They'll get Hunter back, Mayfield, from his knee injury that he suffered over the Christmas break. That's a guy that obviously, I think Jacob said he was the 3rd leading scorer as a freshman before he got hurt. So, that seems like they've got that thing rolling pretty well up there to be back again in contention. And obviously Wilson, they didn't have senior on the team. I mean, Class A girls, I'm not convinced. I'll just say I don't think ceiling – there's no way they can keep up that level, losing to 3 with Nyberg, Whetstone, and Gore. There's no way they can keep it up. Now, I say that, and they'll be right back there. But I look on the other side of the court.
Mahomes effect for me.
I look on the other side of the floor.
They have Hamer.
I look on the other side of the floor in that game. It's Oklahoma Bible. Not a senior on that team either.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumblings in the Big House about look for that team next year.
Back-to-back state tournaments. A year ago, lost in the first round. Now get all the way to the finals this year. I think that's going to be a team that will be right there in the mix. I think, Lomega, this is kind of the year to get them, because they had a lot of youth. Now, Swart obviously is a huge loss, but they have a bunch of girls back. And they're always, probably ceiling the same way in a lot of ways. They're always kind of there. Hammond, you mentioned. To me, in Hammond, the fascinating part would be the boys. That team looks to be coming. As far as teams that didn't make it to the state tournament, mm-hmm. Out here, Hammond, obviously Canute was young, boys-wise. So those are kind of some teams for me to kind of look forward to. And then, Leedy's the same. You lose some seniors, like Kadavy and Puffenbarger, I think. They've got some guys back, and Lance just seems to kind of have that secret sauce to get there year after year after year.
What about teams like in our area that didn't make state? I mean, we mentioned a couple. We mentioned Hammond boys, Canute boys. What about like Leedy girls?
Mm-hmm. Still young. I mean, still bring back a bulk of that team for sure. And it's a team that's made the state tournament last year, went unable to get there this year. Yeah, I mean, that's no doubt that they will be in the mix. And then you wonder, like, here's the deal. Kind of tied in, but maybe not all the way. But, you know, are there – we all know what's coming in 2 years at Canute with that group, you know, of seventh graders. But who are the eighth graders around? You know, and another team to watch, obviously, in Class A with their youth is Cheyenne.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheyenne girls. You know, those four freshman starters all the way to area. How much can they improve? And will they kind of start a couple-year run of making state tournaments?
I think next year could be really good for our teams out here because of youth. Next year and then the year after that, you mentioned Cheyenne, you mentioned Canute, Leedy. I think we're on the verge of that first year in the new big house could have a lot of local flair in there. I think we're on our way.
As it seems like youth in the high school ranks and then youth in the junior high ranks around, there's a bunch of good players that are that are either kind of making their way onto the scene or will be rolling onto the scene here in the next couple of years. I think it's very true that next year, year after year, I mean, it's that way a lot, but it seems like there's some really high-level teams. Like, this is sort of maybe the quote-unquote down year for the Paragon schools as far as making it to the state tournament. I don't think we're going to see just two in the coming years.
I think
we're going to be more in the 4, 5, 6 range.
I think we don't call it a down year. We call it a setup year. It's setting up for something big because we've seen what we just mentioned, all this like on the verge, like on the cusp of breaking through with all these youth, these young teams out here. So it's kind of like a setup year next year. And like I said, the year after we could have it could be like it was a few years ago where we had a team represented almost every state championship.
Yeah, what, 21? Is that 2021? Canute and Leedy and
Canute girls, Leedy,
Arapaho.
Yeah. So it's coming. It's coming. The programs are in good hands out here.
Merritt Oilerettes and the Merritt Oilers make school history.
That is cool.
First time ever that both teams make it to the state tournament in the same year. I know the girls were there in 2010. The boys didn't start their run of a few in a row till 2011. That was really kind of the closest years. But for the first time, both Merritt teams into state tournament. Boys went through the front door with a win over two unranked teams going at it. It's just amazing that happened. You know, two unranked teams in an area final, and they slipped by Central Salisaw. I thought, and it turned out to be true, and I think maybe even said it on Friday, that the loser of that game was in trouble with Hooker coming flying back through, and sure enough, the Bulldogs just dominated there on Saturday night on Central Salisaw. So it kind of felt like a do-or-die game for those two teams, and Coach Husman's group got it done on Friday night. So they move into the state tournament. They will play on Wednesday at 9 o'clock at night, the last game of the night, against Hennessy, the number 4 Hennessy Eagles, at 9 o'clock Wednesday night. The girls, the Merritt Oilerettes, were able to brush off the loss to Kip Tulsa on Friday. It was a little bit hairy there in the third quarter with Hartshorne making a run back at him. I think it was a 4 or 5 point game kind of midway through the third quarter. And then Merritt just absolutely hit the pedal to the metal and blew out Hartshorne 77-52. So the Oilerettes back into the state tournament, second time in 3 years, and they'll play a familiar opponent, the same team they played in the first round 2 years ago. They'll get at 10:30 on Wednesday morning. That's Pecola, number 9 Pecola. The one common opponent that I could kind of glancing through their schedules was Hartshorne. Pecola split 2 games with Hartshorne, both 2-point games, a 2-point win and a 2-point loss, and obviously the Oilerettes just trounced Hartshorne on Saturday. You can't really do that. I get it. But that is, you know, when you start looking for stuff like that, that's with two teams on literally opposite sides of the state. That's the one team that they've both played, and the results were overwhelmingly in Merritt's favor there as far as the girls go. But they'll play at 10:30 Wednesday morning. Pecola number 9, Merritt number 3. So congrats. That's a really cool thing to make school history, right?
100%. Yeah, that's something that they could carry for the rest of their lives. So we were part of the group that got both teams in the state tournament in the same year, which blew my mind when that stat was revealed, when that was a thing that we confirmed on Saturday. I thought, man, you know, there's a lot of really good basketball history over at Merritt. It blew my mind that not one time did they both make the state tournament at the same time. So it's going to be cool. And if you want to go eat at Simon's Catch on Wednesday, I think you're going to walk right in and get a seat, because nobody's going to be around the Merritt community on Wednesday with a 10:30 game and a 9 p.m. game.
Another thing as far as the boys go is with the schedule. If you're a Merritt fan, get there early, because Dale plays right before you, and that's a treat on the boys' side.
Yes.
You get to see Dayton Forsyth and that Dale team. That's just an extra little thing that's kind of cool the way the schedule worked out. You got those games back-to-back. So, yeah, get there. Watch that 7:30 game. And then watch the Oilerettes, obviously, at 9. So that's interesting. I think for the Oilerettes-wise, I like their side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But I may – you know, here's the deal. Everyone – Riverside. I may be a little bit jaded by what I saw. Maybe it was just not a very good game for them, or the Elkettes just played great. You know,
yeah.
I may just be letting that affect me a little bit too much and not giving them the credit. I mean, you beat Sealing by 30. That's an impressive, you know, that's a yeah. mouthful, right?
Yeah.
That's a total mouthful. Thinking, oh my gosh, they beat Sealing by 30. I just, with my own eyes, when I saw him play, it wasn't as, not unbeatable, let's just say that.
Right.
For me, but who knows? You know, that's the team, they were there last year in the Class A state tournament. And it, you know, you may just been, you know, took their foot off the gas against the Elkettes, and Elk City made them pay with that second. I think they outscored them 37-31 in the second half. Elk City did. So, and, you know, that was an area team, sure, in 4A, but it didn't, I don't know. It didn't look.
Right, and I saw them, too, up at the Tournament of Champions watching them, and they think they lost there, too. And I saw flaws, but, you know, they're beatable.
They're good, though.
They're good.
What's her name? Parker is her last name. She can play. Another tall, like 6-foot athletic girl. I just can't remember their names other than Parker. They're obviously a good team. There's no doubt about it. Number 2, and actually getting some votes there at the end of the poll to be number 1, courtesy of that, you know, the performance, obviously, against Sealing. It's going to be a good team, don't get me wrong. It just, I wouldn't, if it is Merritt and Riverside in the semifinals, I'm just saying I don't know that Merritt's completely outclassed by any stretch of the imagination. With what I saw, but that was just one game, and they played a whole bunch of other really good ones throughout the year. So, and maybe, like I said, being a little bit too jaded by that one night of basketball that they played over in Hinton. Okay, let's see what else we got high school wise. Oh, we have winners. Tucker Family Beef 8 for state. Only one person in the 25-person field. Only one picked 3 champions right. Only one. Had some with 2. A bunch just got 1 right because Sealing and then some upsets maybe along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But only one person picked 3 state champions. And that person was the winner.
And well who was it, Aaron?
We'll tell you who it was after the break. That's what you like to call a tease. We'll tell you who it was. I can tell you this. First place and second place. Family members.
Oh, that's not cool.
That ought to kind of let everybody know sort of who won. We'll be back. We're always on the lookout for a healthy, homegrown, satisfying snack that we can eat on the go. Tucker Family Beef has just that snack with Made in Oklahoma Tucker Family Beef Sticks, now available in two flavors, regular or jalapeno and cheese. Tucker Family Beef still specializes raising prime beef that you can purchase in bulk with halves or wholes that come from all natural, no hormone added, high quality cattle. Check out their entire selection at TuckerFamilyBeef.com. Since 1917 at Tucker Family Beef, it's what they don't do that makes it great.
The Skinny on Sports.
Yeah! Coming at ya!
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Hanging out here on a Monday, recapping the high school basketball events of the weekend. A and B state tournament, the Merritt Oilerettes and Oilers making school history, both headed to the 2A state tournament on Wednesday. With the A and B tournament being over, that means the Tucker Family Beef 8 for State contest has been finished. And the winner, I mentioned, only one person was able to get three champions right. The three that he got right was Sealing, Lomega, and Okarchi. And that is the difference with Mr. Stephen Walker. The champion with 55 points, three state champions picked. And so Stephen Walker wins the Tucker Family Beef 8 for State contest. Congratulations to him. I was talking to Monty at church yesterday. He'll get the prize pack ready, and then we can text Stephen when that is. Second place was me with 53, but I can't win the Tucker Family Beef 8 for State contest. So that means in third place, Peyton Baker.
Ah.
52 points for Peyton. I had 53, 52. That was the only. Then there was a bunch of 49s and 47s throughout the list. But Stephen Walker is the winner. Peyton Baker is second with 52. So, like I said, we'll get the prize packs and we'll get that stuff. Everybody notified. And, you know, last year we got a picture and all that kind of thing. So that'll be cool. So congratulations to both of those, Stephen Walker and Peyton Baker. Stephen wins, Peyton seconds. Trash talk amongst the family will begin. I actually think Yancey might have been above 52. She was 51 maybe, right below. So there was that was pretty good picking there by that family. So congratulations to them. Appreciate everybody playing. It was fun. It was, I mean, quite literally the Okarchi Sentinel game on Friday kind of determined the contest in a lot of ways. There was a lot of people had OK and Sentinel in the finals. Mm-hmm. But Steven comes through not only with Okarchi to make it to the finals, but then picking them to win was the difference in the contest. So congratulations there. Fun times. Hopefully we can do it again. It's really enjoyable. Lots of fun with that. All right, some other notes from around the sporting world, Jared. Shocker in Norman. You knew it was going to happen eventually. You can't just win every single game. But Oklahoma, what did they play, five games over the weekend at Love's Field maybe? Five or six? Five. And in the fifth game, 71-game win streak snapped by the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns. 7-5 in 8 innings. Any idea the last time Oklahoma lost at home?
I feel like it was playoffs. No, I can't remember.
It was not playoffs.
When was it?
It was actually Leap Day 4 years ago.
Well, that's weird.
February 29th, 2020. Do you know who beat them? A team with the person who would go on to be a Sooner later on in her career. North Texas and Hope Troutwine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
4-3 is the last time. February 29th, 2020 is the last time Oklahoma softball lost a home game before yesterday, all the way back on Leap Day in 2020 to North Texas, 4-3. Crazy. Absolutely crazy streak. I mean, it's just nuts. And so I'm sure.
Is it a streak? Not the home streak, but the 71?
71.
Will that even – I mean, softball's funny. I mean, you can get on a roll. But will that ever be broken?
I'm not going to say that Oklahoma can't break it.
Oh, that's a good point. They can go on another roll.
Well, last time they lost, they won 71 in a row.
That's yeah. It's true. It's just incredible. I mean, there's a lot of numbers. Everyone's kind of reminiscing. Okay, now that the streak's over, look at what – you saw a lot of tweets from those who know. It's pretty amazing what they put together. But they're kind of been flirting with this for the last few games. Back on when they opened that up on Friday, had to come back and win that first game at Love's Field. Well, I wonder if this is weight off their shoulder. You hear that a lot. Okay, streak's done. Everything's still ahead of us. Conference games, conference title, World Series, all that stuff. I wonder if that just lifts the weight off of their shoulders, or if there's maybe it's an eye opener. Like, oh, we got some work to do. We're maybe not as good as we think we are. I mean, you just know Coach Gass was probably taking the ladder there. So, hey, girls, you aren't as good as you think you are. It's time to get back to work.
Yeah, I think that's probably the message that she sends. It probably doesn't bother her whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep everybody a little bit more humble.
I was thinking about last night, it's funny how there are streaks and there's, OU owns the winning streak in football, and now they own this streak. And I started thinking, well, the football one I don't think we'll ever see broken because of how parity is working out in football nowadays with NIL. And maybe it could just jump ship and go to another team. There's one dominant team every other year, whatever. So it's hard to see dynasties and streaks like that being assembled in today's day and age. But softball, I think that's the more likely one that could be broken. But who knows? I mean, that NIL and the transfer portal applies to all sports. OU's benefited from that. What other team could jump up and do what they've done? I don't know. I'll just think about that, brush my teeth last night. Like, well, who could beat this streak? Would it ever be broken? A lot of people thought, well, yeah, this 47-game run streak, that's awesome, but it'll be broken eventually. It hasn't been. There's been close, like Miami. Got to how many?
So USC was, what, 35 USC maybe?
But it's to the point I'm thinking, I don't think I'll ever see that broken in my lifetime, and I don't wonder if this one will. I think this one was the more likely candidate of being broken. It's still pretty impressive. It's something they should celebrate going on that win streak. The field, though, did you get to watch much? Did you see much of that field, the facilities?
No.
It's pretty impressive.
72. They gave it 72 runs in 71 games. I can't do the math to how many they scored. Sorry. I can't do it that fast. It was a lot easier to do the opponent's scores than Oklahoma's.
Oh, yeah.
16. Oh, my gosh.
Now, there's some great tweets out there
where somebody
numbers.
I see every game of the win streak. It just doesn't have it totaled.
Oh, yeah.
I had to do it myself. Let's see if somebody did it down here. 40 shutouts in 71 games. It's pretty amazing. It's crazy. Crazy streak. All right. Sooners battled number one Houston. Numbers out of that are staggering. It was the best offensive performance by a Porter Mosier team at Oklahoma. The best against Houston by far this year in the Big 12 with the offensive rating of like 155.9. The best in the country in a loss, though. As Oklahoma falls to number one Houston, 87-85. Kelvin's return was a thriller in Norman. And to me, it kind of reminded you of some of the things that happened when Kelvin was there. Think about the times, beating Kansas as a number one team, or, kind of always seemingly able to step up to that moment. Kelvin's teams did in Norman against a really, really good opponent a lot of times. And that's what OU did on Saturday in a loss. Even down to the clock not starting with Hollis Price in the house. I know that I saw a tweet from Toby that said that Hollis stopped by the radio booth at halftime and kind of winked and said, it looks like the clock keeper's still there for my time, with the way that time didn't start in that infamous Texas Tech game. So it doesn't do you any good to play that. It's still a loss. It's not going to necessarily help in the bracketology. Oklahoma needs to beat Cincinnati. They beat Cincinnati this week at home. They're going to be in the NCAA tournament. If they lose that game, then you might start seeing the bubble start to pop up in a lot of places going into the Big 12 tournament. Still have games, Cincinnati and then at Texas. Is that the last two? I think so. I think that's the final two games of the regular season for OU. Caitlin Clark breaks Pete Maravich's record. I tell you what, this is going to have to be a topic for another day. Caitlin Clark is obviously the most recognizable women's basketball player on the planet, probably the most recognizable college basketball player on the planet, men or women. An incredible achievement. You can go back and forth about, you know, this and that with Pete not being able to shoot threes or whatever you want to do. It's still an unbelievable achievement for Caitlin Clark. But I got to tell you, there are two sides to Caitlin Clark. There is the phenomenal player, and there's also kind of the, not cheap shots, but man, it ain't all roses and rainbows with her. You know, yesterday she runs into the Ohio State girl, gets the technical foul call. I mean, it happens every game. You know, she smacks a girl in the chest. Listen, that's what competitors do. I get it. You know, it's kind of odd to see maybe a woman, you know, in this spot, taking some shots like that. You know, the ridiculousness of the flopping and taking a shot at a fan when the court was rushed. I think it was against Ohio State, you know, back, a month ago or whatever, and the way that was reacted to. She's phenomenal, and she actually announced she's going to go to the WNBA. That kind of surprised me.
I thought, can you even do that? But I guess if she doesn't hire an agent, she can. Just say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go, but I'm not going to hire an agent right now. I mean, can you make that announcement, is what I'm saying, before your season's done?
I don't know why not. What do you mean hire an agent? Everybody's got them.
Yeah, I know.
Anymore, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But phenomenal achievement. There's no doubt about that, what she did yesterday passing Pete. And then, don't look now, Jared. But the Oklahoma City Thunder are atop the Western Conference standings.
They looked good last night. Did you watch it?
I watched a bunch of it.
Yeah. Got down early. Bad start. Didn't panic. Great defense.
Phoenix had a couple of huge runs. What, 17-4 to start, and then a 23-2 run at another point, but Oklahoma City
never panicked.
They didn't.
Never panicked.
That's a win that you see contending teams get.
Yeah.
With the way that game played out. 118-110. Over the Suns. It's hugely concerning the way that people are guarding Josh Giddey.
What, you mean not guarding?
Yeah.
He had a couple back-to-back there, what, the second quarter?
He was 2-for-4 from three.
They mentioned, like, he's been working really hard with the shooting coach, da-da-da. Yeah.
It's weird. It's not good. It makes the game so much harder for everybody else. That's why, you know, a lot of talk in the offseason coming up for sure about whether or not he fits in here and maybe an ability to move on from him in some sort of trade. We'll see how the playoffs go. But there's a chance that, you know, that's kind of the undoing. As much as the rebounding is a thing, out rebounded 50-41. How about Nurkic? 31 rebounds. But at the same time, Oklahoma City took 11 more shots than Phoenix did. And you're thinking, how's that possible? When they give up 15 offensive rebounds. Well, there's a stat called turnovers. Oklahoma City forces 21 and they only turned it over 5 times. So that's where they make up that's where they're making up the difference from the rebounding disadvantage is the turnovers. An ability to force them and not give up the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The rebounding thing, you think, does the signing of Muscala do anything for you?
Not really. I mean, maybe a little bit, but not really. I think it's cool that he's back, though.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people like it.
And he might, you know, who knows, he might be able to step in at some point in the playoffs and knock down, you know, three. I think it's more of the shooting that'll help than maybe the physicality.
Right.
Did see Biombo last night for 7 minutes. He scored a bucket and had a couple of rebounds on the offensive end. You know, that I think that matchup wise, depending on who it turns out to be in the first round, there's a chance he could contribute. We still haven't seen Gordon Hayward play great yet. 15 minutes last night, or 16 minutes, 1 of 3. But once again, he had a couple of offensive rebounds and assists. So I don't know that that's been what people had hoped just yet. But we'll see. I mean, it would be great for him to be knocking down shots and playing great offensively right now. But the truth of it is, none of it matters until we get into the middle of April and the playoffs start, and that's when it's all going to be kind of determined exactly, you know, how successful or unsuccessful that move was. You know, I don't think it doesn't hurt you at all because you didn't trade anybody that was going to play. You know,
yeah.
In that spot, in any meaningful playoff minutes, I don't think. And so I think it's just kind of a, you know, almost like icing on the cake type of deal. But yeah, great win last night for Oklahoma City. 118-110. And so they go tonight back to back. Go from Phoenix to LA. The Lakers on tap this evening. See if they've learned anything, because that last matchup kind of looked like a playoff game in which the Lakers sort of bullied Oklahoma City with the size of LeBron, the size of Anthony Davis. See, Oklahoma City can contend with that. But, man, who would have ever thought 60 games into the season, the Oklahoma City Thunder atop the Western Conference standings at 42-18. Wild. Wild.
It's nice. This is awesome. And they even said it last night on the broadcast. What can this team do in the playoffs? You know, it's like, this is cool. This season's been awesome. Exceeding our expectations. But I might like, this is nice. This is great. Real season starts in the playoffs. And these guys have very little, I mean, the play-in game, we can call it experience, call it not. I don't care. But I want to see them in a series and how they play.
Yeah, and listen, I don't even know, you hear the phrase championship window. Is it open? Is it closed? I don't even know if Oklahoma City's has opened yet.
Yeah. What was awesome was when they showed that stat of the average age on the team. It's like, what, 23 and a half? And then they compared it to the other young teams in the league. I mean, we're talking San Antonio. We know what they're doing.
Houston.
Yeah. Orlando. Orlando's winning record. They're kind of coming up.
Yeah, they're sixth.
Detroit. I mean, I'm talking about bad teams right there outside of Orlando. And then there's the Thunder, who are leading the West.
Mm-hmm.
Some windows not open yet, but it might be
creeping.
It's
open.
Unlocked, and they're ready to push it open.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think it may have been the day you were gone on Wednesday. Just cautioning the Thunder fan base. Like, listen, even if they get beat in a first-round series, because when you look at who it could be, the teams in the play-in are Phoenix, Dallas, Golden State, and the Lakers.
You just said Kevin Durant.
Luka, Steph, LeBron.
And LeBron.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that we just don't know. And even if it doesn't go well, it's still kind of – it's okay, because you get a chance to see exactly what they need to do as these guys start to even enter their prime.
But what's fun is, for playoffs, that's what's so fun about playoffs in any sport. You just get in, and you never know what could happen. You never know who can get hot, all that stuff. So just get in, and it'd be nice to get in with a little home court advantage.
Well, that's going to happen. I mean, here's the deal. They are 7 losses ahead of fifth with only 22 games to go. They're going to host a first-round playoff series. It's just a matter of – what seed are they and who they play at this point? You know what I'm saying? They're hosting. Absolutely going to host a playoff series, barring an injury that would take them out of contention anyways, right? And you know, an SGA or J-Dub or what have you, that's gonna ruin their chances to win when they get to the playoffs anyhow. So I think for a young team, you look at them 18-12 on the road. That's an awesome record for a young team. You know, it's right there with all the best teams in the West. Only Minnesota with 20-11 more wins in the Western Conference on the road, and only Boston and Cleveland in the East with more wins on the road than what Oklahoma City has been able to accomplish so far this season, with 22 more games as they hit the 60-game mark. Assured a winning season already with 42 wins. They're going to have a winning record. I think they – what was the over-under in Vegas? Like 43.5, I think, to start the season.
Yeah.
So just a couple away from surpassing that season the season-long over-under, and they're going to do it with plenty of games left. And now, you know, is it 55? Can they get to there? Can they win 13 of 22? You know, they won 7 of 10 so far this season is their percentage. So you do that twice. That's 14. That's 56 with two games to go. It's been an awesome regular season. There's no doubt about it. Best point differential in the West at 7.9 a game, averaging defeating their opponents. It's all roses in Thunderland again. So the rebuild, the reimagining, whatever it was called by Sam Presti, is over.
Yeah, the likelihood of me seeing Stars play on April 14th is less and less. I'm taking the family to go watch them play on the very last regular season game. I might see a lot of the Stars sit on the bench.
Yeah.
Because it might not mean anything.
Who's against Dallas?
Yeah.
Might see Dallas's guys. I mean, they're two back of sixth to get out of the play-in.
Try to get out of the play-in, yeah.
With two back of New Orleans and Sacramento with 34 and 27. So other teams just have 25 losses.
I want to see them. My kids could care less. They just want to go and eat the popcorn and see the atmosphere and all that stuff.
All right, good stuff. Well, very good stuff.
It's a good problem to have. Just saying, well, I didn't get to see Chet play or SGA because they rest them.
They arrested them to get ready for the playoffs.
They locked up the one seed a week ago.
I think it'll be a battle all the way down to the end. But you're right, in the very last game, maybe not.
Hottest team in the NBA. How about Boston? Holy moly.
11 in a row.
Wow. What they did yesterday.
48 and 12.
Yeah, I can see the Thunder girls. Thanks, Ryan. That's a good one.
No comment. Everybody have a great Monday. Congratulations to Stephen Walker, Peyton Baker, the winners of the Tucker Family Beef Paper State.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.